So, you know, how do you assess the risk? You know, like, so, you know, at the, on the one hand, you can sort of say, you know, what if they don't perform, right? And on the provider side, of course, it's like, what if they don't pay? And we'll talk about that a little bit more. You know, you sort of think through what are the dependencies at issue, right? What are the laws that are at issue? And in all of that together, you kind of formulate your primary risks. But it's worth going down sort of a checklist, I think, to kind of think about some of these categories. You want to talk a little bit about payment, Bert?
Sure. So, well, as I had a very generous introduction, I thank this organization for presenting me like this. So I worked in legal departments of very large companies, and I was at Oracle before. I was at General Electric until a couple of months ago. Now I'm a global legal department of one, which is a completely new experience. I'll talk about a little bit from a vendor perspective, but frankly, when we are entering into commercial negotiations and contracts, it's important to know really you need to have an arrangement that works for both sides. So I do know we have a lot of vendor representation. I think half the audience is from Dell, to be honest here, but anyway. So for payment risk, so from a vendor standpoint, payment, it's really the principle, if not really the only thing a vendor really cares about. They're in business to sell their products and services, and payment is paramount. If they're not getting paid, they simply, at some sooner point rather than later, they cannot really perform. So a payment risk is that when you go through commercial and technology contracts, is I flag anything that is putting a contingency on payment, anything that makes payment somewhat uncertain, and that could be anything from the word, and Bart says you've seen this a lot, and we see this in the industry a lot, undisputed. We will gladly pay all undisputed fees, and that puts a subjective element in terms of the duty to pay. I know you have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we can negotiate that back. If I'm sitting on the other side of the table on the customer side, you know, it's, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to have my contract terminated or my services terminated just because I don't want to pay a full invoice when I dispute part of it. And, you know, so you know, we've talked about some middle grounds, like whether you mentioned whether the invoice is erroneous or good faith. But I think to your point, it's worth knowing from the customer's perspective that the vendor is going to need some amount of certainty in order to proceed with the contract, ultimately.
Right. And other areas where there's payment risk is if you have milestones and payment is triggered to milestones or acceptance criteria or something that says we'll pay upon completion or even go live. If you don't have those benchmarks defined somewhere, it could be very hard for a vendor to actually demonstrate that the payment obligation is triggered and fees are due and owing. So I always make to, you know, I guess where I would say, if I didn't say it already, I look to have objective triggers. There has to be enough detail so that that can be demonstrable when the obligation to pay. And similarly, for performance risk, if the contract is going to talk about, we have here, it doesn't work as intended or as represented or not always available, I think we understand that. Essentially, we want the service or the product to operate well. But what does it mean to be intended or as represented? So if you're going to have service levels in there, they should be objectively measurable. If there's, you know, you oftentimes for products you point to the documentation. That should set forth the technical and functional aspects of what you're delivering. Same with deliverables or milestones. Again, objective criteria to show what is the performance that you're looking to meet.
Right. And from a risk perspective, in assessing the risk and dealing with, you know, I don't disagree with the objective criteria. Again, I'll put on a little bit of a customer hat here in terms of saying, like, look, you've got to think through what are the risks. What if they don't perform? Is this going to cause me potentially to, you know, miss deadlines under some other contract, right? Or is there going to be some sort of a problem, for example, if they're in charge of all my data? What if they lose the data, right? Or if the data is just not available? Or, you know, what exactly does that do? People often focus on breach, but, you know, forget the breach. What if you don't have the data at all? You know, like the there are a number of issues that have to be thought through in terms of from a performance perspective, because you're going to want to measure your remedies against those risks later, remedies or other measures like insurance. to make sure that you've properly taken that into account, or your backup plans and the like. And there's another sort of related risk is at the end of the contract. You know, and we were Bert and I were talking about this earlier, that you know it's increasingly the case that data is portable, more portable than it used to be, and so you know a lot of the negotiations around transition services are not quite as important as they used to be, but it's still an important thing to think about from a continuity perspective. And it's not just the bankruptcy type situation; it's also you know the end of the contract, or you want to move to another service, and you know sort of thinking through how that's going to happen, and you know, is certainly part of the overall performance risk assessment.